Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us out there on Facebook Live for our bi-weekly devotion on Friday evening, on this rainy evening. We're thankful that you are with us. Tonight, May 22nd, God is on the throne and He's still in control. There are some in our church family that have had wonderful praise report news this week. There's some in our church family and our extended family that are grieving and are sick. So God knows all of the situations, and He is in control. He is still in control. After all, after everything that nothing comes as a surprise to Him. He's in control, and we're one day closer to the end of this season of sickness. That's going to tie in a little bit with tonight's lesson, tonight's devotion, but more on that here in just a minute. President and federal government are standing up for religious freedom and saying that our country needs more prayer together and not less. They did announce today that they wish for services to open up, their churches to open up. We here at Thomas Village are a little cautious about that. We're still going to have a drive-in services on this Sunday, the 24th, and on the 31st at 11 o'clock. We'll have the speakers out front like we always have. You're invited to bring your lawn chairs. We'll still maintain social distancing, and the church is planning on opening services on the 7th and the 14th of June. We'll meet in the sanctuary, but we'll also have the speakers out front. So if you're not ready to come in the door, that's okay. You can still come and worship with us. And before you pat someone on the back, I know I'm a hugger, and I can't wait to embrace all my church family and just grab them up and hug them real tight. But before you do that, we do ask that before you pat somebody on the back or give them a hug, shake hands, ask the individual if they're comfortable with that. Some people may not be, and that's okay. And we do have prayer needs tonight before we go into our devotion. Of course, the lost are always at the top of our prayer list. The backslid, marriages, and the depressed. Paul Arwood, Sheila Stanley. I am also on your prayer list. I'm facing an upcoming surgery. Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Rhonda Smith and Sister Patricia, Peggy DeBoer, Moselle Carter, Ruth Bowen, Patty Prevett, Helen Bowen, Ruth Osborne, Hazel Stanley, Jeanette Carter, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Jay and Ruby Keck, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Kent Smith, Liza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, and Danny Smith. Those are our prayer needs. Also on our prayer list, we want to continue remembering our federal state health and emergency workers are on the front lines during this crisis. Also, business owners, managers, pastors, and others for wisdom in trying to reopen is very different and very difficult for them. Certainly, we want to open, but we want to do it safely and responsibly and to the best convenience. But also to the best, to our ability, taking the precautions to keep everybody safe. And that's a difficult position to be in, our pastors and our deacons especially, but our business owners too, and knowing what to do and how to do things in an unprecedented time. We've never been faced with this before. So the coronavirus numbers as of 5 p.m. today, nationally, There are 1,642,223 infected with COVID-19. 395,583 have been reported recovered. There are many more that have recovered. They've just not been reported and included in that number. Deaths nationwide are now closing in on 100,000, 97,527. And in the state of Virginia, reported infections are 34,950. Now, Virginia does not keep record of those that have recovered. And the deaths are 1,136. And so certainly continue to remember the grieving in your prayers, the ones that are suffering loss right now and are not able to go to a funeral home or maybe even to a graveside service and pay their respects and say goodbye. That's got to be a tough way to go right now. We do have a death in our neighborhood this week, and so remember everyone involved with that. Let's go to a time of prayer before we get into our announcements, and then we'll get into our devotion this evening. Lord, we thank you for this time to come and study your word, Lord, in a time of prayer and devotion. We thank you for what you've shown us, Lord. We thank you for the lesson that you have given to us, Lord, that we may share it with others, Lord, that we may have ultimate hope, Lord, even when we go into the Word and discuss things that may not be too comfortable to talk about or may not be very pleasing to talk about, Lord. We still have the hope, Lord, in your Word and what you say about certain things, Lord. And we just thank you for the opportunity to come tonight. And we remember all of those on our prayer list, Lord, all the ones on the front lines, all the ones that are affected in one way or another by this crisis, Lord. We pray for our area pastors and our church leaders, our deacons, Lord, the ones that are tasked with making very, very tough decisions right now, Lord. We pray that you lead them and guide them in making the best decisions, Lord. Give them the wisdom and the knowledge that they need, which comes from you. We just love you and thank you for your many blessings, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. In the way of announcements, we still have prayer and devotion on Monday and Friday at 6 p.m. The Wednesday midweek service is at 7. All of those stream live on Facebook Live. If you can't join us live, they are on the Facebook page for you to go back and listen to them. We would like for you to join us live, but we realize everyone leads a busy life. Even though it may not be as busy as it once was, we still have things that we need to tend to. And so those are archived on the Facebook page if you want to go back and see those and listen to those. Awana year has officially ended, but we do have one more thing that we're going to put out there, kind of like an end of the year video. But we will be reaching out to you again after the summer is over and we figure out what we can do. We will be reaching out as far as Awana goes, and not just Awana, but we will be reaching out to our kids and their parents, and hopefully something this summer that we can get in touch with you, because we certainly want you to know that you're not forgotten. And so, as I said, May 24th and 31st, drive-in services at 11. June 7th and 14th, we'll open up the sanctuary with some provisions and limitations on that. But never forget the most important thing. No one loves you like Jesus. No one's done so much for you as Jesus. And no one will do more for you today than Christ Jesus, if you let him. Tonight we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. There's just one verse for devotion tonight, but there's several scripture references that come off of this scripture in Hebrews 9. and 27. And I watched a little bit of a old pastor, Pastor Chuck Smith. I watched one of his messages right before I left to come to the church. And he preached on this very thing. And he had a message. And he said he realized that this topic was not one that people really wanted to discuss. Talking about death, talking about the appointment of death for everyone. And he said he would make a deal with his congregation. He said, if you'll stop dying, I'll stop talking about it. And so that hasn't happened, so and it hasn't been taken out of the Word of God, so I guess we're still still tasked with talking about it and discussing what Scripture says about it. Now, especially in this time, when we read the numbers of deaths that we've had from COVID-19, people don't like to talk about it. They want to talk about the recovery numbers, and certainly those are stronger than what the deaths have been. But let us not forget that there are people that are affected by death's call during this. And let us not forget that. And let's see what the Bible says about that. Because if we look at this in the right manner, it offers a message of hope. Even when talking about such a dark and morbid subject as death, it doesn't have to be dark and morbid if you know Christ Jesus, because you've got something to look forward to after death. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let me give you a story here as you're turning to Hebrews 9:27, and I think it illustrates pretty well how we tend to think about death. I'm going to take you back to 1972 now. That's before I was born, a few years, not many. But the 72 Munich Games, the Olympic Games, are already marred with controversy, and they were marred with death. There was an incident with some Israeli hostages at those games. So it was the overtones of those games were with death. And so at the 72 Munich Games, the United States playing the Soviet Union in the men's basketball final, gold medal game. Americans were behind. They trailed the more experienced Soviets by 5 points at halftime, and they were down 10 with less than 10 minutes remaining. It looked like they were going to get a silver medal, that the Soviets were going to go on and take the gold. But they mounted a comeback, and they took a 1-point lead on a pair of free throws with 3 seconds left in the game. Then things got a little weird for them. International rules prohibited at that time a team from calling a timeout after a free throw. And the United States has just made a free throw, so the Soviets were not allowed by rule to call a timeout. They had to inbound the ball and run the 3 seconds off and try to get a shot off as quickly as they could. So the Soviets inbound the ball, and the Soviet coach and bench runs onto the court and demands a timeout. The referee stops the clock with 1 second left. He denies the Soviets a timeout. He allows them to re-inbound the ball with 1 second left. They're going to have to throw a long pass down, hopefully get a layup to win the game. The pass was deflected, the buzzer sounded, and the Americans started to celebrate because they'd won the gold medal, or so they thought. The Secretary General of the International Amateur Basketball Federation approached the scorer's table and ordered that the Soviets be awarded a timeout and 3 seconds to be put back on the clock. Despite the fact that he didn't have the authority to make such a demand, the referee complied. The Soviets caught a full-court pass on their third inbound attempt, converted the game-winning layup before the buzzer, and the Soviets won 51-50 and claimed the gold medal. Now, what does this have to do with death? Well, there was time put back on the clock. There was a do-over. There was a mulligan, if you will. Now, in our lives, we don't get a do-over. Once the time runs out, it's over. Death is here. There's no turning back the clock. There's no, give me three more seconds to say goodbye to everybody. Give me another chance at life. It's done. Your life on this earth is over. And so the Americans protested that, and they decided to boycott, and they refused their silver medals. And they've received, 12 members have received numerous invitations to come and claim their medals, but they refuse. And the team captain and some of the teammates have even had provisions in their wills that none of their descendants can ever get that silver medal, can ever go claim it, because they felt like they were wrong. Time was put back on the clock when it shouldn't have been. So that story illustrates something that everyone will realize one day. We're out of time. No do-overs, no second chances, no putting time back on the clock, no redoing anything. No one's going to run back out on the court and say, wait, 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 hold off on this person's death. They still need another 3 seconds or ever how long it is that they need. We're not going to get that chance. So Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, a lot of people like to forget the last part of that verse. They would like there to be a period there after it is appointed for men once to die. They'd like there to be a period right there. But there's not. It says, and after this, and after death, the judgment. So tonight's devotion, we're going to go over 5 quick things about being out of time. And like I said, there's a message of hope in this. Just hold on. You'll get the message of hope. First point is, it is appointed. Death is unavoidable. When Hebrews 9:27 says that death is appointed, it may be stating the obvious, but most people live their lives as if they're never going to die, as if death is unlikely, from the youngest to the oldest. As a teenager, and I was once, I thought I was invincible. I thought I could take on the world, and especially once I got that driver's license at 16, man, I had a car. I was wrapped in a 4,000-pound steel enclosure. I could go as fast as I wanted to. It was going to protect me, and I was invincible. And teenagers live their lives like that, but they're not the only ones. Adults live their lives that way. I went to visitation one time with an 88-year-old man. He knew the scriptures. He knew that he needed to be saved to inherit eternal life. He knew all of that. But yet he continued to say, well, I'm still alive. I've got time. And we had to look at him and say, man, you're 88 years old. What are you waiting on? Your time is running out. Even if you live to be 100, you still only got 12 years left. So, he made things right with God before his death. At 88 years old, still living his life like, I've got more time to live. I'm not going to die. Today's not going to be the day. And so it's appointed. Death is unavoidable. We have no control over it. It is inevitable, as Ecclesiastes 12:6 says, yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well. That's from the New Living Translation. That gives a good translation of what that verse is saying. The silver cord is loosed and we fly away. Or we die. And that's it. We have no control. Don't wait until that point. And all of us sooner or later must keep a personal, unavoidable appointment with death. Death is unavoidable. It is appointed unto man. Appointed means reserved for one, awaiting. It's where our English word appointment comes from. That's the first point. Death is unavoidable. Secondly, for men, which could be translated to for all. You are no exception. You are no exception to death. When Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for man once to die, it does so generically. No sense of gender. In other words, men here stands for all humankind, man, whether male or female. When we go back to Genesis, we talk about the fall of man. That means the fall of mankind. That means the fall of everybody. Everybody, man and woman, Jew and Gentile, everyone. And no one is, death is not escapable for anyone. Most people live their lives, though, as we said before, as they were exceptions to the rule of death. Unless the second coming of Jesus Christ occurs in your lifetime, you personally cannot be accepted from death. In all of human history, there were only two people that were accepted from death. Jesus Christ, of course, resurrected from the dead, but He was not accepted from death. He died on the cross for our sins. He went through a physical death, even though He resurrected. There were only two people. One was Enoch in Genesis 5, and the other was Elijah in 2 Kings 2. They were taken into heaven without a physical death. They're the only two people in history that have been accepted from it. And you will not be an exception either. As we said, unless the second coming of the Lord happens in our lifetime, which we are getting closer day by day. We're living, I truly believe we're living in the last days. So you are no exception to death. Third point, once to die. You only die once. Now there's a saying going around nowadays in t-shirts and acronyms of YOLO, YOLO, you only live once. So you may as well live life to the fullest. Go ahead and do whatever you want to because you only live once. Well, guess what? You only die once too. When Hebrews 9:27 says once, it means you don't get a second chance at life and death. It's a one-time thing, a one-off thing. One kind. Unique. We often hear people say you only die once, and they usually mean that you might as well be reckless. They've changed that to you only live once now, but it means the same thing. But that's quite the opposite according to Scripture. Oh, by the way, I meant to give you a disclaimer before I started. As you know, I wear a heart machine. It measures the amount of blood going through my heart every minute, and it's supposed to be 1 liter every minute. Well, the good news about that is that my heart has recovered so much that the machine isn't having to work as hard and pump as much blood through the heart. It only knows numbers. So when it goes below one, you'll hear that little tone go off. It's okay. The machine's doing its job. The heart's doing its job. Everything's good. So if you hear that little tone, don't be alarmed. It's all good. So, because he might sing some more. So, but we hear that people say you only live once or you only die once. And Scripture says the opposite of that. Here's what Scripture says. 1 Peter 2:11 through 12 and James 4:13 through 17. We should not waste our one life, but live it as pilgrims in this world. This is not our home. We don't belong here if we're children of God. We're just pilgrims passing through. And we should live our lives as such, not reckless, live with reckless abandon and do whatever we want to do. That's right along the lines of the thinking that the Romans had in chapter 6. When they said, well, if we have all of this grace, then grace takes over and grace is able to wipe away our sins, come down when we sin, then why don't we just go out here and sin all over the place so that we can have more grace? That was irrational and illogical thinking. Paul said, God forbid you think that way. Well, same thing with death. Yeah, we have a hope. We have a hope in eternal life if we belong to Jesus, but that doesn't give us license to go out here and live recklessly saying, well, if I die, I die. I'm going to go to heaven anyway. That's not a license to do that. And so we shouldn't waste our life and live it as, but we live it as pilgrims in this world. We shouldn't waste our life hoping that one day we'll have a chance to confess on our deathbed. We may not. We may get taken out in the intersection on the way home tonight. We may not even make it that far. Somebody run a stop sign out here and get us. But we just have something happen to us. People breathe 1 minute, and then the next minute they're gone. It happens that way, and we're not promised that next breath. But Jesus also made it clear that the rebirth, when he says you must be born again, that the rebirth which he spoke was spiritual. It wasn't physical. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. He didn't understand what Jesus was saying to him. Well, how can I be born again, Jesus? I can't crawl back into my mother's womb and be physically born again. How is that possible? That's not what Jesus was talking about when he said you must be born again. Life is a one-time thing. So you only live once. You only die once. Fourth point, death is not the end. Now for some, that's a very scary proposition. For others, it's a hopeful proposition. I told you this was a message of hope, and it is if you belong to Christ. It's a message of hope. Death is not the end. Brother Brian preached on this Wednesday night. Death is not the end. Some people live their lives and believe that once you die, that's it. It's over. There's nothing else. I believe it's called nihilism. That ties along. If you didn't get to watch Brian's message Wednesday night, I encourage you to go back and watch that, because these tie together. It wasn't intended that way. It just happened that way. It's just God working that way. So when Hebrews 9:27 says after this, it puts life and death into perspective. And it supplies the wonderful hope in what otherwise would be a fatalistic and depressing statement. If in this life only I had my hope, the Bible says we would be of all men most miserable. If the only thing you had to hope for was this life and death was it, it would be a miserable existence. And if the only thing that you, if you didn't have any hope after this life, if you weren't, if you didn't know about eternal life, if you didn't know that you were guaranteed eternal life, if you didn't know that you were saved by the grace of God, if you didn't have that hope, you're living a miserable life. And here's what the Bible says. Death isn't permanent at all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And verse 18 says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. If you read those scriptures, go back and read 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. It talks about death not being permanent. And then in the end, it says, encourage one another with these words. Well, how can I be encouraged when you're talking about death? Well, the encouragement is there's more to it than that. There's life everlasting if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As we said before when we started this devotion, our third thing that can never be said enough. Remember, we say nobody loves you like Jesus. No one's done more for you than Jesus. But the third thing we say is, if you open your heart to him today, no one will do more for you than Jesus. And what Jesus has done is died on the cross for your sins. And if you'll accept him into your life, he will promise you the hope of eternal life, which is after death. That's your hopeful message. If you don't have that hope, you can have that hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. For those who seek and follow Jesus, there lies beyond death something grateful, something great to hope for. Last point, really, really quickly, if I can get the pages separated here. Last point, the judgment. Death is your destiny's door. Now you're going to spend eternity somewhere. One or the other. There's more to death than death. There's something after death. There's eternity. And you're going to spend your life after death in eternity in one of two places. You're going to inherit eternal life and reign with King Jesus forever, or you're not. And if you're not, there's a place for you too. There's no second chance after death. Hebrews 9:27 tells us precisely what there is after death, the judgment. Those in Christ need not fear. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. And if you accept Jesus Christ, the way to do that is to walk down the Romans road. You may not have ever heard that before, but if you've not, certainly someone that does know about Jesus, as someone such as your pastor, your deacon, or a church member that knows about salvation, can help to walk you down the Roman road if you have that desire to be saved. They can walk you down that Roman road. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's in Romans chapter 8. Well, how do you get into Christ? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You get into Christ, but He becomes indwelt in you.
Amen.
Why is that important? Well, this is the utmost importance. Those who refuse or neglect that are counted as ungodly, irreligious, and unprepared. They have everything to fear. And by the way, if you do not belong to Jesus Christ, the Bible calls you ungodly. The Bible calls you irreligious, and the Bible calls you unprepared. Those are not my words. Those are not the words of the preacher. Those are not the words of a church member. Those are not the words of anybody that's trying to condemn you. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. John 5:29 says, those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. If you're not in Jesus Christ, there is therefore condemnation. That's the opposite of that verse. And that means an everlasting torment in hell. Mark 9:48. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. In other words, if you go there, you'll go there as a trespasser. Hell was not created for anyone but the devil and his angels. You don't belong there. So we define trespassing as someone who has gone into a land or a property uninvited and doesn't belong there. And you know what they do to trespassers? The person that owns the property or the person that dwells on that property, they're going to do everything they can to get you off of that property, to get you out of there, because you're a trespasser and you don't belong there. Hell's going to be the same way, but you're going to be there forever. You're not going to be able to die. You'll wish you could die, but you're not going to be able to die. And the fire is not quenched. But there is an escape plan. When we're out of time, we're out of time. Speaking of which, I'm just about out of time for this devotion. But I'm talking about your life. When you're out of time, you're out of time. No do-overs. No second chances. No putting time back on the clock. No getting a second chance. The rich man who refused to give the crumbs of his table to Lazarus, and they both died. Lazarus went to be in paradise. The rich man lifted his eyes in torments in hell. And he wished that he could come back and warn people of this place called hell, warn his five brothers. But he was told, time is up. There's no way you can do that. Death is unavoidable, friend. You are no exception. You die once. Death is not the end. Every person's going to face judgment. And so the decision is yours to come to Christ now before your clock runs out. Because there'll be no putting time back on the clock. And eternity is awaiting, whether in heaven or in hell. That's your devotion for this evening. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you at drive-in service on Sunday morning at 11. Bring your lawn chairs. We'll social distance and have a good time in the Lord. Thank you.